Begin the current daf, Mesechtas Baba Kama, daf Ayin Tes. Begin on the last line of daf Ayin Ches Mabez, where the Gemara concludes the discussion where what qualifies as a V'tavach U'machar, as we were classifying and qualifying that it has to be exactly as the word defines itself, that to be liable for the penalty of Dal V'hei is that you stole an ox or a sheep and that you slaughter it or sell it, and it has to fit into that qualification. So that the Gemara quotes a Braisa that adds on to the Chidushim of this Halacha. Turn Rabban Wittna Braisa. Let's say if someone steals an animal, the nasan la'acher, and he gives it to another. Now, as Rashi points out, it doesn't mean that he gives it to another as a gift, because if that would be the case, and even if they wouldn't have the next part of that case where even if it wasn't slaughtered, for that itself of gifting it to another person, he would be liable for dal v'hei, because gifting is the same as selling it, as actually that's going to be one of the cases at the end of the brisa. Rather, it means when he gives it to someone else, it means he points him as a shliach, v'tavach, and that person slaughters it. Or let's say ganav benasan la'achu u'machar, that he steals it and he gives it to someone else and appoints him and he sells it for him. Or as we can see on top of my testament aleph, ganav vehikdish, if someone steals something and is makdish it, or ganav vehikif, or he steals and then he sells it on credit, doesn't get money for it right away what he sold, or ganav vehichlif, or he steals it and then he uses it as barter, or ganav benasan b'maton, or he steals and he gives it as a gift. Or gun of a parachayva, he steals and he pays up a debt with that what he stole. Or gun of upar behekefoy, or actually he steals and he pays up credit that he had once bought something on credit. Now he uses this animal to pay up for that debt, but which is based on credit, not just a regular debt. Or gun of b'shalach sevlenis beveis chamav, or he stole this animal and he sent it as gifts to his father-in-law's household. So for regarding all these cases, says the Braisa, Misham Teshlamei B'Vachamishi, you have to pay 4 or 5 times the amount, because either you're it's considered as if you did the slaughtering or as if you did a sale. So the Gemara says, Maika Mashmalan, what's the Chiddush inherent that's this Braisa teaching us? So the Gemara says, well, Ashmina Reisha, the beginning of the Braisa teaches us a Chiddush in Ganav V'Nosan La'achar V'Tavach, regarding the case that when you steal the animal, you give it to someone else and he slaughters it for you, that you're going to be Chayv Dal V'Hei, even though you didn't slaughter it. And that's the chiddush of the yesh lich d'va'avera, that regarding this unique halacha of dal v'hei, that although generally we say, as the Gemara says, avakav d'b'chol ha'Torah kula, ein shlich d'va'avera, although generally in regards to the whole entire Torah, we don't say that we consider the agent as the mishaleach, as if he himself did the sin, because we don't, that guy shouldn't have done it, we don't see it attached to the mishaleach. In this case, hacha yesh lich d'va'avera, here the Braisa is teaching us that we do consider it as a shlichus, and hence it's like you yourself did it, in regards to the slaughtering or the sale. Now, my time, what's the reason? Because utvacha u'machari, the Torah tells us, and that if you slaughter or you sell, which tells us, ma'machir delay efshir, the lavai de'achar, just like selling, it's not possible that another person wasn't involved in the sale. It takes two to tango to create a sale. So, af tevichal de'achar machayev, so too, the slaughtering is telling us in the comparison to machira, just like there it's even through someone else, here also the slaughtering, even though someone else did the slaughtering for him, but if it's a shliach, it will be considered as if he himself slaughtered it, and hence he's going to be chayev dal v'hei. That's a chiddush that we see from the Reisha. Vashmina Seif, at the end of the Braisa, which the first case mentioned on top of this Amid, is the case of Gana Behiktish, regarding if he steals and he's makdish it, that itself of the act of being makdish is going to make him liable for Dal Vehei, which is Mali Mukhar Lahedi, Mali Mukhar Lashemayim. The Chiddush in that is telling us that what's the difference of selling to a commoner or selling to, so to speak, Hashem, which is when you're makdish, you're selling it to Hashem, that's going to be considered as Umukharai, and that's a Chiddush. As we've mentioned on previous dafim on daf ayin vav medaf, actually that it's machlekes. That's the chiddush of this brisa, that is considered mechira, and hence that you're going to be chayiv for dal v'hei. Nothing more continues with the next mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the previous mishnah, I was discussing this halacha of this parak of parak meruba of dal v'hei, of when you sell or slaughter an animal that seh or shor that was stolen, that you have to be chayiv dal v'hei. So the mishnah tells us ganav b'rishus habayim. If let's say the thief stole it in the domain of the owner. But v'tavachu machu chutz mirshasim. But when he slaughtered or sold it, it was already, when he had it already taken it out of their domain. Now what's significant about that is that when he takes it out of their rishus, then he becomes a ganav and he acquires it by taking it out of their domain. So as we're going to see, that's significant because to be chayv dal v'hei, you have to have first become a ganav. You only become a ganav, what makes you into a ganav? Because you touched it, it's when you acquire it in kinyan geneva, so you have to make a kinyan. So here, in this case, you made a kinyan, so as we'll see, that's why you're going to be chayiv dal v'hei in these cases. Or maybe even, or another case is, if he stole it where it wasn't in their domain. His animal was out of his property. So there, you're kind of with Meshicha by just drawing it right away. By someone's Rishus, you're not kind of with Meshicha. By just pulling it, it's not a Kinyan. But when it's not in his Rishus, you become a Ganav right away. And therefore, even if he slaughtered or sold it in his Rishus, again, that will be qualified as a valid Tvich Mechira of Geneva to be Chavd Al Vehe. Because you're already kind of with Meshicha, you don't have to take it out of anything. Or if he stole it and slaughtered or sold it, all of that was out of the guy's Rishus. Regarding these cases, Misham Teshlum and Baba Chamisha, you're going to have to pay the penalty of 4 or 5 times the amount. Again, that's because you had already been coined as a Ganav, either because by taking it out of his Rishus or because of a regular Meshicha, because it wasn't his Rishus when you took it. So you were coined with Geneva, and then there was a Chiyah for Tzvich Mechir of Dal Behe, which has to follow a Geneva. Aval, but. But if he stole it, slaughtered it, and sold it, all of that was all in his rishus of the owner that he was stealing from, then he's going to be exempt because he never became a ganav, because he never acquired it. Which, as Tosfos points out, it must be talking about that he didn't do hagbah, he didn't pick it up, because as we'll see at the end of the Mishnah, that by just picking it up, you could be kind of even in the rishus of the Bailam, and then of course he would be chayiv as a ganav, and also on the dal v'hei of tzvicha mechira. As the Mishnah continues, Haya, if the ganav was meishchei v'yaitze, he was drawing it and going out. He was trying to steal, he's pulling out this animal. Umeis b'shus habayilim, and then it dies in the owner's domain. He didn't even get out the door. Then pater, then he's exempt from all these halachas that are unique to ganav, because, again, he never became a ganav yet. He didn't acquire it. But higbiu, but if he picked it up, even if it was still in the rishus of the Bailam, there the halacha is hagba, picking up something, is a kinyan no matter where you are, as the Gemara in Kedushin of Chofeim Beis explains. So if he picked it up, or he already took it out of the owner's domain, and then it died, then he's going to be chayev for kefil, and all the halachas that apply to it, because he already was kainid before it died. So therefore he was a ganav. Now the Mishnah continues, if the ganav gives this thing that he stole, which is worth, let's say it was 5 slum, which he uses for pidyon haben, which is you need 5 slum to redeem the firstborn son. But let's say he gives it lebuchayres benai. He gives it to, for his firstborn son, he gives it to the kain, there in the place of where he stole it, where is in the owner's domain, or to pay up his creditor. Or he gives it to a watchman who is watching for free, or l'shoyel, or for a borrower, or l'naisesachar, or someone that is watching for pay, or l'seicher, or for someone that's renting. These are the dalet shemrin. So let's say it's still by the owner's place, and the ganav says to the kain, here, take this for the 5 slum for my pinya ben. Or he tells to a creditor, here, take this, this will pay up the debt. Or he tells to one of the 4 shemrin, here, take this and watch this for me. And then either the kayin or the creditor or the shaymer was pulling it out, saying, "Oh, this is what you're telling me I should take." Okay, so he's pulling it. So if it dies when it's still in the owner's domain, so then patur. So then the ganav is totally exempt from everything, as we mentioned before, because it was never taken out from the owner's domain. So no one ever became a ganav on this. But higbiu. But if let's say the kayin or the creditor or so on, if they picked up the animal, or they already took it out of the owner's domain, and then it dies, then chayiv, then, as Rashi explains, which this is Rashi's second interpretation, that the chayiv is going to be on the ganav. The reason being, although the ganav didn't take it out, the shomer took it out, or the kain took it out, or the bachleiv took it out, but since it was a kinyan that they did, either of hagbo or taking it out, as his shliach, he told them, here, here's your debt. Oh, okay, this is your money, I'm taking it out. He's the ganav, they don't know. He's telling them to be a shliach, as we said, regarding the halacha of tabachu machar, the halacha applies even to a shliach of avera, and therefore, that shlichus is going to make the ganav be chayiv on dal lehei of these animals. Now, relating to the halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara says, boya meima, which this will come as a proof, the Gemara will bring a proof from our Mishnah. Boya meima, meima had the following question. Tiknu b'shicha b'shoimim, was it instituted that for a watchman to become obligated in his shmira, it's only if he first does a meshicha, which is a kinyan meshicha, by drawing it near. So that's when his obligations of shmira start, and before that, then he didn't have it start yet, and he wouldn't be liable. Or maybe there was no takana institution of meshicha, and it starts right away when they made up. So Amar Yemer, he says, Toshima is being arrived from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Nisanei lebuchariz benoi, if the ganiv gives what's in the owner's domain, but he wants to steal it, he gives it to the kohen for the redemption of his firstborn son, or for his creditor, or l'shei mechinim, for the one who's watching for free, or l'shei, for the borrower, the one who's watching for pay, or for the renter. So the Mishnah said, if he was pulling it out and leaving, so said if it dies in the owner's domain, so then he's going to be exempt. Whereas if he pulled it out already, then he's going to be chayv. So the Gemara says, my love, isn't it what it's talking about? It says that he was pulling it out, which we said that if he finally makes it out of the owner's domain, then there would be liability. Is who's pulling it out? Is the shomer? Is the watchman? And then it's talked about the animal dying. So that if, let's say, he made it out, when the Mishnah ends at chayiv, it means to say that the ganav would be chayiv with the pulling, with the meshicha of the shomer. Now, what does that mean? What does it have to do with the meshicha of the shomer? What does the shomer have to do with meshicha? How does that relate? There's no kinyanim for a shomer. What does it have to do as if that relates to the ganav? So obviously you can infer from there the tiknu meshicha b'shomer, that they instituted meshicha by shomer. And that's why we're saying that there's a liability over here relating to this meshicha, because the shomer does meshicha. And therefore you see that answer that question, that why there's over here a meshicha that could create, because the bachayiv is taking for himself, everyone who's pulling it, the kohen is taking for himself, what type of meshicha is the shomer doing that will say that was a shlichus for the ganav that would make him liable on dal v'hei? Must be because a shomer has meshicha. So Amalei said to him, no, actually, ganav. What the Mishnah was saying was, not that when it says, oh, so he told the kohen, or he told the bachayiv and says, here, this is your thing, and then they were taking it out. No, the ganav himself was taking it, stealing it out, and he was taking it to give it to the kohen. Now that the Gemara asked, Hatanu li Reisha, but the Reisha already said that. The Reisha spoke about that right before. It said, if the ganav was taking it out, did it die before or after? Then it goes to another case and says, let's say he himself didn't. He was actually giving it to the kohen or to a creditor or to the shomer. And then he takes it out. So what's the significance of giving it to them if it's the same case of him taking it out, and depending when it dies, if it's before kinyan ganav or after? Already said the same halacha in the Reisha. So that the Gemara answers, no. Tana ganav sheganav ebeis habaylam. The Reisha was talking about when the thief steals from the owner's house. But tana ganav sheganav ebeis shomer, and the Sefer is talking about when he steals from a watchman's house. But they're both talking about the ganav and not the shomer, because you're right, regarding a shomer, maybe there is no such thing as meshicha. So Amalei Rav Ashi said to him, loy titchaya, don't reject the proof. Because mali ganav sheganav ebeis shomer, what's the difference if the thief is stealing from the watchman's house? Mali ganav sheganav ebeis habaylam, what's the difference if he's stealing from the owner's house? It's the same thing. They both consider begunav ebeis ish. It's the same thing. It's his house. It doesn't make a difference. His house or his watchman's house. It's from his house. Elalav shomer rather must be. Can't be both talking about the ganav himself, because what's the purpose of repeating two cases? The ganav, there's no difference between beis shomer or beis habaylam. Rather must be talking about the sefer is when who's taking it out. The shomer's taking it out. Obviously, you could infer that we did institute meshicha b'shomer, and before there is meshicha, the shomer is not going to be chayiv, because it only starts, the clock starts ticking of his liabilities only when he first does a meshicha. Gemara says, "It menami sotu." We learned Amr Belazer, "Kederech shetiknu meshicha b'lekucha." Just like we instituted drawing by a lekeach, meaning to say, for someone to acquire something, he has to first do a kinyan of meshicha. Kak tiknu meshicha b'shemen, so too instituted a kinyan of meshicha by shemen. Only then does his shmira obligations begin. Tanam hachi, similar in the brisa, "Kederech shetiknu meshicha b'lekucha." Just like we instituted meshicha by a consumer, kak tiknu meshicha b'shemen, so too instituted meshicha drawing it near by a watchman. Moreover, says the Braisa, just like land can be acquired in one of three ways, either with money, with a document, or with taking possession of it with what's called a chazaka, so too a rental can be acquired with money, a document, and taking possession. Which the Gemara asks, what type of rental are we talking about? And that is because Elam, if you're going to entertain to say, as the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, Schiris de Metatlin, renting of a movable item, which is that he rents him his kalim, his utensils, his vessels, metadli b'nei shtarininu, are movable items, things that can be acquired with documents. But the halach is that movable items are only acquired with mishicha, with pulling it near, as the Gemara says in Kedushin of Chava Medalev. Now, as Rashi points out, although, let's say regarding one of those three kinyanim of kesef, there is something that does make a ramification in regards to metadlin, at least that there's acceptance of mishapara, The halacha is that there's going to be a punishment from someone that took money and then retracts for a movable item. So although it's not even the full kinyan, you need to have mishicha, but at least it does a mishan para. But regarding a document, there's no kinyan whatsoever, because it's just words. And as the Gemara says about Metzeya Mem Tesem and Aleph, that regarding words, there's no mechusar amana, there's no backing, there's no penalties, there's no biblical punishments for somebody that just pulls out of something that was just a verbal agreement. There's no mechusar amana, there's lacking of faithfulness. So therefore, what are we saying? How could it be told about a rental of a movable item? There's no kin of shtar at all regarding metatlon. So Rav Amar Rav Chisda says schiris to karka. When we're saying that rental is the same as acquiring land, it means just like when you buy land, it's in one of these three ways. So too, when you're renting land, it's also going to be in one of these three ways of kesef, shtar, and chazaka. Continuing on our previous halachas, Amar Balazar, he says, "Ruuhu shehitmin b'charshin." If people see that somebody is hiding in the forest, now why is he hiding over there? Because obviously he wants to steal the animals of the shepherds that have the animals grazing over there. Now, moreover, they see that he then slaughters or sells one of the animals that he stole. He has to pay 4 or 5 times the amount for the tzvich mechira. On that, the way Rabbi Elazar said it, he didn't say anything about the ganav doing any kinyan meshicha of gneva. It just says that he slaughtered it or sold it. So how did he ever acquire it to be a ganav in the first place? So Rav Chisda says shekisha b'makal, you're right, he didn't draw it near, but he hit it with a stick, and that is considered an element of meshicha because you made it move somewhere, which is the fundamental principle of meshicha. That would be qualified as meshicha too, and that's why that was the geneva part, and then there's the tveicha mechira part. Now, but still the Gemara asked Ami, they said, but v'kivin deru'uhu, since people saw him, they saw him hiding in the forest, so actually gazlin hu, he's a robber, not a thief. Now, the reason being is because a thief, as Rashi explains, although a thief to be liable for Kefam Dal Behe had to have been that two witnesses witnessed him. It's not like nobody saw him. It wasn't so stealthily. But there, Mayaganev, is although people see him, but he's not afraid of those other people is because he says that they know I'm not coming to steal their stuff. So he's not afraid of them, but from the owner who he's coming to steal from, he does. He sneaks and he's afraid of the owner. But here, when the guy hides in the forest, which is where everybody takes their animals to graze, and he doesn't know whose animal he's taking from, so it's obvious that he's not afraid of anybody. That's a goslin. A goslin is somebody that comes straight up and steals. That the Torah never said kefon dal behei. That was only said by a ganav, not by a goslin. So how could Rabbi Elazar say, with this guy who's hiding in the forest, and everybody sees him, and he's not afraid of them, so why should he be chayav dal behei? He's a goslin, not a ganav. So that the Gemara says, no, kivin dekumatami minari, since ultimately he is hiding from them, he's in the forest, although people do see him, ganavu, he is a thief and not a robber. A robber would just come out brazenly like that. He's not, and therefore he would qualify as a ganav, b'chayiv dal behei. So the Gemara says, ve'ele gazlan hechadami. So what is a gazlan? If this guy is not a gazlan, because he's saying, although people see him, but he's hiding in the forest, so then what is a gazlan? So Amir Bavo, he says, kigin b'niyo ben yoyada, which Shinem, like it says, the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it says regarding him, that the Yigzal Esachanis Mi'ar HaMitri, he was so brazen, he walked straight up, took the spear from the hand of the Egyptian, the Argu B'chanis, and he killed him with his spear. That's a Gazlan. That's somebody that comes straight up and is not afraid of anything. But if a guy's hiding, that's a Ganav. Rabbi Yechonam, he says, Kegan Bali Shechem, like the people of Shechem. Shemek, it says, the Pasuk in Shaftim, it says, V'yisimuloi Bali Shechem Ma'arbim Al Rosh Yaharim, that they placed them, these men of Shechem, which were laying in ambush on the top of the mountains. The Yigzalu is Kalasha Yavar Lemadech, and they would steal from whoever passed through the road. Those are Gazlan, they're not hiding places and sneaking into people's houses. They wait in ambush, and they come, and there's highway robbers. These guys come straight out and take it away from you. That's a Gazlan. Now, so the Gemara says, Rebbe Vo, my time alone, my high, why didn't Rebbe Vo say from Rebbe Yechanan, like in the example of the Baal Yishchem, which actually there the Pasuk used explicitly the word V'yigzalu also. So Amalach, he tells you, no, Kivan de Metamir Tamure, since ultimately these Baal Yishchem, they still hide, like Gazlaninu, they're not considered robbers, they're more as a thief. Rebbe Yechanan, however, he says, no, Hodikum Metamir, this that they hide, Delay Nechzaninu Hinshivina Arkumnau. That's only that people shouldn't see them and flee from them. But scared? These guys are not scared of anything. They're going to come straight out and take all your money, take whatever it is. Therefore, he says that would be an example of a gazlan and not of a ganav. So the Gemara says, Shalu Tamidu b'Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh. The students of Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh asked him, So we know that the pasuk is only talking about kefon dal vehei by ganim, not by gazan. Why is it? Why was the Torah more stringent by someone that's a thief, does it secretly hiding from people to steal it, that he has to pay kefon dal vehei, whereas a gazan doesn't have that penalty? So Amal Hans, Rabbi Yechim Zakeh said to them, that's because that, regarding the gazlan, hishva kovit ever le kovit kainei, he treats equally the honor of the slave to the honor of the maker. In other words, he's not any more afraid of people than he's not afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, although it's obviously very wrong, but okay, so you only have to pay for what you stole. But v'zeh by a ganiv, lehishva kvayt ever lekvayt kain, he doesn't hold on equal footing the honor he has for the slave, meaning for people, to the honor of the master, of the creator. Actually, the ganiv honors more the slave than the master, because he's afraid of people, but from the heavenly eye, he's not afraid of. He goes and he steals. So kibiyachol, so to speak, asa ayin shalma tekila ayin eroya. He makes the lower eye, which is a euphemism for the higher eye, as if Hashem doesn't see. Va'izin shalma tekila ayin eshamas. He makes like the lower ear, again, euphemistically for the higher ear, as if it doesn't hear, as if Hashem doesn't see or hear. People he's afraid of. That's worse, because that's really disregarding. It's not even like he's brazen, doesn't care about anything. He cares. But he cares about people, not about Hashem. Shlomo says the pasuk in Yeshaya, says, "Hoy wo hamamikim Hashem, who to go into the depth from Hashem, laster eitzah, to conceal in counsel, meaning that they hide in secret to steal and to do wicked things. V'hoyu b'machshach maseim begomer, it's in the darkness of their actions where the begomer, etc. Where the pasuk there says v'yimra, and they say, mi reyenu umi yedenu, who sees us? Who knows us?" Uksiv Sotu says the pasuk in Tehillim Vayimer, they say, La Yiraka, God doesn't see. V'lo Yavin Eli Ke'akav, and the God of Jacob doesn't understand. Uksiv and Sotu, like it says the pasuk in Yechezkel Ki'amru, that they say, Azav Hashem Esa Aretz, Hashem has left the land, Ve'ein Hashem Ra, Hashem doesn't see. That's worse than the Gazan, that's what he has the penalties of Kevon Dal Vehe. Amr Meir, Meir says, Mashlu Mashlu Meshum Rem Gamliel, they gave an analogy, in the name of Gamliel, Lama Dava Dema, what could this be compared to? Why the Ganav is worse than the Gazan, as we just explained? L'shnei b'nei adam shoyu bi'ir v'osher mishta. Two people that were in the city, and they both made parties. Echad zimen es b'nei ir, v'lo yizimen es b'nei amelech. One invited the people of the city, but didn't invite the king's sons. V'echad lo yizimen es b'nei ir, v'lo yizimen es b'nei amelech. One didn't invite nobody, didn't invite the city inhabitants, and didn't invite the king's family. So, Ezim Hen Anshe Meruba. So, who do you think would get a greater punishment for not inviting the Bnei HaMelech? Hava Oymed, you would say, Zesh Zimen is Bnei Eir, Velo Zimen is Bnei HaMelech. The guy who made that distinction, the guy who didn't invite anybody, okay, you should have invited Bnei HaMelech, but you didn't invite anybody. This guy who invited everybody, but didn't invite Bnei HaMelech, oh, that distinction is pretty stark. That's a worse punishment. That's exactly what the Ganav is, in contrast to the Gazan. Now, concluding with other Divya Gadita regarding this concept of the Dal Vehei, Amr Meir, he says, come and see, kama gadol koyach shamalocha, how great is the strength, is the fundamentals of work. Shor shebitla mimalachta chamisha. As we've been mentioning all along in this parak, there's a difference in the Torah between when you steal a seh or a shor. When a person steals and then slaughters or sells a seh, sheep, then he has to pay only four times the amount. A shor, He has to pay five times the amount. Why? So he explains. Because shor shebitla mimalachta chamisha, by an ox who works, who plows, does all the work in the field, and now you stole, there the penalty is going to be five times the amount. Sesh lebitla mimalachta ba, a sheep, a lamb, who there's no work that's done with it, there it's only going to be four times the amount. And you see how great work is, that the Torah gives a greater penalty for taking away somebody's animal that works for him. Amar b'yichem mezakai, he gives a different interpretation for this differential. He says, "Boy, Ray, come and see, come a godly covered up breeze. How great is where the Torah gives to the dignity of man. Shur shahalach baraglav chamisha. An ox, when he steals it, it walks by itself. So it's not degrading to have to steal this ox. The penalty is five times the amount. Seh, but by a sheep, sheher kivoy, where the thief has to ride it al kasefe on his shoulders, because he has to be able to take it. It doesn't go by itself as easily as an ox. And therefore he's degrading himself by having to carry it on his shoulders. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more lenient on him regarding the penalties payment. And there it's only going to be arba. We see how great, even by a ganav, the dignity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for the human, that he degraded himself. We're not going to penalize him as much as by a ganav of a shor, that there when he is teveach u'macher, he has to pay five versus the seh's four. Now, the last mission of our parak says that Ein Megadlin Behema Daka Beretz Yisrael. We're not allowed to have and grow and have this the small animals, the flock of sheep and those types of animals in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason being is because of the settlement of Eretz Yisrael. Because these types of animals, sheep and goat, they end up consuming the produce of people's fields. And generally, all the fields in Eretz Yisrael are owned by Jews, and therefore we're not allowed to have those types of animals of livestock in Eretz Yisrael. Aval, but Megadlim b'Surya, you're allowed to have this type of livestock in Surya, which is Aram Tzaiva, which is the area that David HaMelech conquered. And the reason is because this Tana holds that this kibush of David HaMelech of Aram Tzaiva is not considered kibush. In other words, it's considered, at least in certain regards, as Chutz La'aretz. And in Chutz La'aretz, you're allowed to have this type of livestock, and the reason is because it's not concerned about this settlement. And if it ends up ruining someone else's field, so good, then you go ahead and you compensate him, but you could have it in Syria, and so too Midbar Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. In the deserted areas and desert parts of Eretz Yisrael, there you're also allowed to have this type of livestock. Now, Eim Agadlan Tarn LeGoyim B'Yerushalayim. Neither are you allowed to have and grow up chickens in Yerushalayim, even a non-Kohen, even the Yisrael. The reason is Mneha Kaddishim, because all the Jewish people come and they eat their Kachim Kalim, their Shlomim, and the Karmen Toidin, the Mais Behema, they eat all that in Yerushalayim, where you have to, you can't eat it further out than that. And the problem by having time to grill around Yerushalayim is because they peck in the garbage dumps, where maybe they're going to bring a lentil size of a sheretz, which transmits tumah, and it's going to be time of the kachim. So to prevent that, we're not allowed to have chickens in Yerushalayim. And the loy kahanim b'Eretz Yisrael, and kahanim can't have chickens, not only in Yerushalayim, they can't have in their possession anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason is, when they have taharis, because kahanim eat shuma, and they have to be careful more than regular Yisraelim of tahara, and therefore they're not allowed to grow up chickens anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. So to aim a gadlan chazir b'chol mokom, a person can have livestock of swine anywhere, not just in Yerushalayim or Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara is going to explain the reason for this. So to lo yigadl odem es akelav, a person can't have in his domain, can grow up a dog. And the reason is because dogs bite and they bark, and it could cause a woman to miscarry because of the fear of the dog. Elam kein hayikasher b'shalshalos, unless it's tied down with a chain. So to in person nishavim, a person is not allowed to spread out nets liyoinim for doves, so that he shouldn't be capturing the doves of the people of the inhabitants of the city. Elam kein hayirachik min hayishav lamed ris, unless he's 30 ris, which is 4 mil away from the city, only then can he spread out nets to catch birds, these doves, from elsewhere, not from the people in the city. So Gemara explains from a brisa, the halacha of our Mishnah, Tanur Rabban Lina brisa. Ein Megadlin Behema Daka Beretz Yisrael, a person cannot grow livestock of the small animals in Eretz Yisrael. Av Megadlin Becherishin Shev Eretz Yisrael, but a person could have them and have them around in the forest in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Besuria Fil Beyishub, in Surya you could even have it in the settled part of the land. Vein Tzorach Lehem B'chutz Lartz, you don't have to say that in Chutz Lartz, out of Beretz Yisrael, you're allowed to have this small livestock, the flock of sheep and goats. Tanidich, we learn another brisa. Ein Megadlin Behema Daka Beretz Yisrael, a person cannot have livestock in Eretz Yisrael of these thin, small animals. Av Megadlin B'Midbar Shev Yehuda, but you could grow them up in the desert in Judea. U'B'Midbar Shev Esvaran Akoy, and also in the desert of the border of Akoy. Now, Va'avapisha Amr Ein Megadlin Behema Daka. Now, although the halacha that we've been saying up until now, which was the first halacha of a Mishnah, that you can't have what's called Behema Daka, small flock, the livestock of Megadlin Behema Gasa, but you could have cattle, larger animals, and the reason being is because it's necessary to have these types of animals in settled areas for carrying and for plowing, and Lafisha in Gezin Gezer Alat Tzibur, because we do not make decrees on the public, Elam Kein Reiv Tzibur Yechayin Lamed, but unless the majority of the Tzibur can withstand it, and most of the people can't go without oxen, because you need that to work and plow the fields. For sheep and goats, you can go without. But since the majority of people need that, although obviously they could cause damage, but still that they weren't Gezin Gezer, and you're allowed to have that in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Behema Daka, moreover, is that although people might, let's say, need these behema dakas for whatever the milk or for the meat of them, but that you could bring from chutzlarts. Behema gasa e afshalehevim chutzlarts, but it's not feasible to bring these larger animals from out of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore again that is allowed to be megadol in Eretz Yisrael. Moreover, says the Braisa, the avabisha amur e megadol behema dak, although that we said you can't grow up livestock of the flock of these smaller animals. Avol mashehu koidim leregel shleishim yom. But you could hold on to it. You could have it for a period of 30 days before Yom Tov. That's because everyone needs to slaughter these animals to eat meat on Yom Tov. So for that time period of 30 days, you could have it in Eretz Yisrael. And also v'koidim mishta benoi lamed yom. And also before the festivities, the parties for his son, for that meal, you could also have it 30 days before. Ubavad, but at least shlo yishas achrein shleishim yom. As long as you don't hold on to it, to delay it for a full period of 30 days. In other words, if someone bought animals before the Yom Tov, 30 days, and it's near Yom Tov, the person should not say, you know what, I'm going to slaughter the earliest ones that I bought now, but the later ones that I bought, I'll delay it even after the Yom Tov because it's not yet 30 days. So, and that is what the Gemara explains, that the Braish is telling us that the Silka de Techamina, we would have thought to say, the Inafikle Regal, that if the Yom Tov already passed, but Chizavnat Hashta from when it was bought up until now, Akati Loy Molele Tlasin Yom, and it's not yet 30 days yet, and we had given a dispensation of 30 days, you would think that even though Yom Tov passed, you could hold on to it. And that is what the Braish is telling us, Loy Nema Tlasin Mishri Shari Le Lishahuyeh. It doesn't tell us that 30 days you're permitted to hold on to it. And like even enough of Lake Regal, once the Yom Tov passes, Lemi Bay Lishah, you shouldn't be holding on to it anymore. We gave you 30 days before Yom Tov because of the time to be able to get it and to slaughter and do all the things you need to do for it. But that's only up until Yom Tov. Once Yom Tov passes, even though 30 days didn't pass yet, then you're not allowed to hold on to it in Eretz Yisrael. So too, as the Gemara continues at top Peyam and Av, the Braisa concludes, so to Vahatabach, a slaughterer who gathers animals for the marketplace day, he could be lekech v'sheichet, he could take animals and slaughter them, and even lekech v'sheichet, he could purchase and hold on to it up until the marketplace day for 30 days from when he bought it. But again, the same idea. As long as it doesn't hold on to the aguna, in this context means the one that was the delayed one, the one who was purchased last from all his purchases, which he bought right before the market day, don't think again that you could hold on to it even after the market day to be able to hold on to Lama Yem to complete 30 days. Again, that's not allowed. This dispensation of 30 days before the market day is when you let us stop buying and holding on to it. But once the market day passes, that's when you're supposed to liquidate. And even though it's not 30 days from the latest ones that you bought, you're not allowed to hold on to it even for 30 days if it's already past the market day.